If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasis, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about some of the jurisprudential laws regarding homes based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, a person buys a car for his family's comfort and pays for it by money whose homes is not paid and by the earnings made during the year. Is he liable to pay homes on that money? And if he
purchases the car to use for work-related purposes, or both. What is the ruling in this regard?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If the car was intended for purposes related to his work and business, of course, then it is ruled as tools of business in respect of liability to khums. So khums should be paid on the tools which are used to earn money. Like you buy a car to carry passengers from one corner of the city to another, or you buy a tractor as a farmer, you buy a tractor to plow other people's fields or farm instead of yourselves. Instead of those of yourselves, of course, khums should be paid on the tools which are used for such purposes, which are used as tools of business. Okay. Now there are a lot of other examples that can be given. So, generally speaking, khums has to be paid on the business and also on the tools of business. But if you buy a car for your own family, and in common view it is considered to be a normal need, it's very much commensurate with your social status, of course, then it's not liable to khums. Of course, if the money with which the car is bought was subject to khums, its khums should be paid. Okay, if the money for example, if a year had already passed on the money and it was not used, so khums should be paid on it first, because it was a liability that was created in the previous year. Now, if that money is used for both purposes, like for example, you part of the money goes towards buying a car that you need for your family, and part of that money is used to buy a car for let's say as a taxi. So, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, khums should be paid in proportion. I mean, khums is paid on the amount that goes towards buying that car for the taxi or that tools of business, and not on that money which is used on buying a car that you need for your family or for yourself, and it's not used for generating income, for making income.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program on Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. And Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws concerning khums based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, we all know that khums is divided into two parts, right?
Yes.
Well, and the question is, can this or all of the khums be paid to any mujtahid or their representatives?
Well, this is a very important and very serious question, because a lot of mu'mineen do not have access to their mujtahid. They live in a country where they do not have access to their mujtahid or their wakil, for example, their agents, okay? So they want to know whether the two portions can be given to any mujtahid or any to the representatives of any other mujtahid. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, every believer, every faithful individual should give khums to his own mujtahid, mm-hmm. or to his wakil, or they call it wakil, but of course the right word is to use agent or representative, mm-hmm. or proxy, whatever, because the religious authorities have their representatives in every country, mm-hmm. that are populated by Shia Muslims with a sizable Shia population. Mm, okay, for example, we give the example of India and Pakistan. There are many representatives working, on behalf of His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, and also the same is true with other religious authorities. They also have their own representatives. Yeah. So it's essential, it's necessary that every individual give his khums to his own mujtahid, because that mujtahid is supposed to be a qualified mujtahid in his eye. So one should not give his khums to someone who he thinks is not qualified for taqlid. So one has to give his khums to a mujtahid who he believes to be very much eligible and qualified. Now, if he does not have access to that mujtahid, he should give it to his wakil. And in the event that there is no wakil, he should wait until he can send it via or through someone who is reliable to his mujtahid. Of course, as you said, the khums has to be divided into two portions. One portion of khums should be given to the Sadat and to the Sayyids, and the other portion should be given to the Imam, to the Mujtahid, who will spend it on very urgent cases or needs, okay? One of which is the Islamic Seminary, because in this time around, for example, the religious authorities give the khums to the religious students, to those students who study in the Islamic Seminary who will one day go out doing tabligh in one country or another. So they are the ones who need support, who need financial support, of course.
And can anyone himself or herself pay this portion, in fact, to the Sadat just alone? Like,
of course he can. When it comes to the portion of Sadat, he can give khums. Let's say the Shia scholars, like for example Ayatollah Sistani, says okay, he can give it without seeking permission from the mujtahid. But Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says he should obtain permission. Okay, that person who wants to give his portion of Sahmi Sadat to the Sadat, okay, he knows there are some Sayyid families in his neighborhood, they are in dire need of help and assistance. So he can make a phone call asking for permission, mm-hmm. from the Ayatollah, from the religious authority, or from his wakil. Once he gets that permission, he can take the Sami Sadat and give that portion to those family who are in need. Of course, it's necessary to make sure that those families are practicing families, okay? Mm-hmm. Because if they do not perform prayers, if they do not fast, if they do not observe piety, and there are people who are very careless about religious issues, so you shouldn't give khums to them, because they might use that money or that fund to commit sins or to buy things which are not essential. They do not buy it for food or drink or anything like that. So it's necessary to make sure that those family who are poor, they are also practicing families. They are needy, but they should be people who observe taqwa, who perform prayer, and who perform fast.
Okay, thank you very much, Eshavi. Thank you, my dear listeners, for listening to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Until another program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب
لا إله إلا